The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Well, he didn't mush his Huskies, he didn't saddle his horse, and he didn't get behind the wheel of a car. He is sitting in a great big geezer chair, and he's going to do Dr. History for us today, and it's brought to you by Minnacashia Sales at 1321 East Main Street in Burley. Here is Dr. History.
Merry Christmas, Zeb.
You chicken.
What can I say? You're right. I heard some reports and thought, you know, it's pretty slippery out there, so I'm playing it safe.
I don't blame you. All right, well, yep. Now, did I give you any homework assignments from last week?
And I'm following up on that just as you requested.
Okay, go ahead.
You wanted some Christmas stories.
Yes.
Okay, and I've got two or three stories that I'm going to, you know, I'll go for as long as we have time here. But, you know, as people around the world think about Christmas, I think a lot of times they remember their first Christmas away from home.
Yep.
Which can be kind of a lonely, sad sort of time. My first Christmas away from home, I was living on an English army base in England, and there was a lady that I knew that sung with the Church of England choir, and she said, well, why don't you come and sing with us when we go caroling on Christmas Eve? And I thought, okay, that's good, because she's never heard me sing, so if she had, she probably wouldn't have invited me. But so I met with her and the other people at the Church of England, and we put on these robes, and we walked around this army hospital, where people were in this army hospital there, and it was just a neat experience for me to kind of forget about myself and just be able to carol to these people that were in the hospital that night.
Absolutely.
So, but I'm going to tell you a World War I and a World War II story that kind of shows the spirit of Christmas.
Okay. All right.
Okay, it's called the Christmas Truce. And this was a series of widespread but unofficial ceasefires along the Western Front around Christmas in 1914. Now, in the week leading up to this holiday, the German and British soldiers crossed trenches to exchange seasonal greetings and talk. And in areas, men from both sides would go out into what they call no man's land on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to mingle and actually exchange food and souvenirs. And there were joint burial ceremonies and prisoner swaps. Several meetings ended in carol singing. Men played games of football or soccer with one another, and giving one of the most enduring images of the truce. But however, the peaceful behavior was not, totally there. I mean, there was fighting in some areas, and but better in other areas. But anyway, the following year, I guess, a few units arranged ceasefires, but the truces were not nearly as widespread, and mainly due to the officers in charge. They did not like the fraternizing with the enemy, unfortunately, even though, you know, we both know the soldiers did not want to be there. They wanted to be home with their family.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, things went pretty good that year, but the Germans actually placed candles on their trenches and on Christmas trees, and they continued the celebration by singing Christmas carols, and the British responded by singing carols of their own, and the two sides actually shouted Christmas greetings to each other. And soon thereafter, unfortunately, there were no more excursions into no man's land. And Again, things kind of turned bad, but in some areas it still was pretty good. There was one particular British officer who served in the war, and he said, "I wouldn't have missed that unique and weird Christmas Day for anything. I spotted a German officer, some sort of lieutenant, I should think, and being a bit of a collector, I intimated to him that I had taken a fancy to some of his buttons. I brought out my wire clippers and with a few snips, removed a couple of his buttons and put them in my pocket. I then gave him two of mine in exchange." Isn't that kind of a
wow
thing to happen during the middle of a war?
I was going to say, this is right during the middle of a war where basically they had their own self-made truce at Christmas time.
Exactly. It did not come down from the higher-up people. It was something that the men out in the trenches, they just kind of did it on their own. And you've got to respect the first man that put his head up above the trench. He could have been shot, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
And his bravery made it so that they had the best they could do in a bad situation.
Let me, if I can, interrupt, and I'll do a commercial break right here. How's that?
Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
My phone keeps going out. Okay, I got it.
Okay. Can you hear me? I'm going to do a commercial break real quick.
Yes, that'll be good.
All right. And yes, your phone is going out. Don't forget Minnacashia Sales at 1321 East Main Street in Burley. And they bring you Dr. History every Tuesday right here on Zeb at the Ranch. We're having a fun, kind of an array of problems here this morning. Don't forget Zach and the crew. They can help you with all your lumber needs and, of course, all the windows with the Western windows to keep the cold out and the heat inside. They've got all the Tartar Farm and Ranch gates and panels. They've got it all for you, all your carpet, all your vinyl, everything. All you have to do is stop in and see them today. We stopped in yesterday. It was really good to see old Zach, good old boy, at Minnacashia Sales, 1321 East Main Street in Burley, and they wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. And now back to the man that helped Alexander Graham Bell invent the telephone. Here's Dr. History.
Okay, here we go to World War II. Now, there was no truce similar to the one that occurred during Christmas in 1914 in World War I, but in that earlier conflict, thousands of British, French, and German soldiers, exhausted by the slaughter of the previous 5 months, and as I mentioned, they left their trenches and met the enemy, exchanging gifts, but the generals on both sides determined that that would not happen again. So here we are, December of 1944, during the Battle of the Bulge. While the Americans fought for their lives against a massive German onslaught, a tiny shred of human decency happened on Christmas Eve, and a German mother made this happen. Three American soldiers, one badly wounded, were lost in the snow-covered Ardennes forest. As they tried to find the American lines, they had been walking for 3 days while the sounds of battle echoed in the hills and valleys all around them. Then, on Christmas Eve, they came upon a small cabin in the woods. Elizabeth Vinken and her 12-year-old son, Fritz, had been hoping her husband would arrive to spend Christmas with them, but it was now too late. The Vinkens had been bombed out of their home in Aachen, Germany, and had managed to move into the hunting cabin in the Hürtgen Forest, about 4 miles from a place called Monschau, near the Belgian border. Now, Fritz's father stayed behind to work and visited them when he could. Their Christmas meal would now have to wait for his arrival. Elizabeth and Fritz were alone in the cabin. Well, there was a knock on the door. Elizabeth blew out the candles and opened the door to find two enemy American soldiers standing at the door and a third one lying in the snow. Now, despite their rough appearance, they seemed hardly older than boys. They were armed and could have simply burst in, but they hadn't. So she invited them inside, and they carried their wounded comrade into the warm cabin. Elizabeth didn't speak English, and they didn't speak German, but they managed to communicate in broken French. Hearing their story and seeing their condition, especially the wounded soldier, Elizabeth started preparing a meal. She sent Fritz to get 6 potatoes and Hermann, which was the name of their rooster. And, she took care of Hermann's head, and while Hermann roasted over the fire, there was another knock on the door, and Fritz went to open it, thinking there might be more lost Americans. But instead, there were 4 armed German soldiers.
Oh, boy.
Now, knowing the penalty for harboring the enemy was execution, Elizabeth, white as a ghost, pushed past Fritz and stepped outside. There was a corporal and three very young soldiers who wished her a Merry Christmas, but they were lost and they were hungry. Now, Elizabeth told them they were welcome to come into the warmth and eat until the food was all gone, but that there were others inside who would not consider to be friends. The corporal asked sharply if there were Americans in, if there were Americans inside, and she said there were three who were lost and cold like they were, and one was wounded. Well, the corporal stared hard at her until she said, "It is the holy night, and there will be no shooting here." She insisted they leave their weapons outside, and dazed by these events, they slowly complied, and Elizabeth went inside, demanding the same of the Americans. So she took their weapons and stacked them outside next to the Germans.
Mm.
Well, understandably, there was a lot of fear and tension in the cabin as the Germans and the Americans kind of eyed each other, you know, a little warily, but the warmth and the smell of the roast chicken and the potatoes began to take the edge off, and you know, the Germans produced a bottle of wine and a loaf of bread, and while Elizabeth tended to the cooking, one of the German soldiers, an ex-medical student, examined the wounded American, and in English, he explained that the cold had prevented infection, but he'd lost a lot of blood, he needed food and rest. Well, by the time the meal was ready, the atmosphere was more relaxed. Two of the Germans were only 16 years old. The corporal was 23. And as Elizabeth said grace, Fritz noticed tears in the exhausted soldiers' eyes, both the German and American.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta. Keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Well, the truth lasted through the night and into the morning. Looking at the Americans' map, the corporal told them the best way to get back to their lines and provided them with a compass. When asked whether they should go instead to the place called Monschau, the corporal shook his head and said, "No, it's now in German hands." Well, Elizabeth returned all their weapons, and the enemy shook hands and left in opposite directions. Soon they were all out of sight, and the truce was over. Well, Fritz and his parents survived the war. His mother and father passed away in the 60s, and by then he'd gotten married and moved to Hawaii, where he opened up a bakery. For years, he tried to locate any of the German or American soldiers without luck, hoping to corroborate the story and see how they had fared. President Reagan heard of this story and referenced it in a 1985 speech he gave in Germany as an example of peace and reconciliation. But it wasn't until the television program Unsolved Mysteries broadcast the story in 1995 that it was discovered that a man living in Maryland in a nursing home had been telling the same story for years.
Hmm.
So Fritz flew to this place in Maryland and met with a guy named Ralph Blank, one of the American soldiers, and he still had the German compass and map. And Ralph told Fritz, "Your mother saved my life." Fritz said the reunion was the high point of his life. Fritz Vinken also managed to later contact one of the other Americans, but sadly none of the Germans. But he died in 2002, almost 58 years to the day of the Christmas truce, and he was forever grateful that his mother got the recognition that she deserved.
Oh, wow. That story really was one of the best you have ever given on this program.
Well, it just touches your heart, you know, in a way that, you know, I don't think there's anybody out there that, among us commoners, that really want to fight or, you know, and like I said, none of those soldiers wanted to be there. They wanted to be home with their families.
Yeah.
So,
You know, and I think there's a point to be made here that through war, the absolute demonic face of war, if common sense could prevail with the soldiers like it did on those Christmas Eve nights, maybe we wouldn't have the world that we're living in.
You know, that's so true. And, you know, what a great time of year when Christians all over the world are thinking and of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's just kind of a uniting thing, I think, for Christians throughout the world.
You know, I was listening to that story, and I was just absolutely moved by the bravery of the mother, knowing that they could be shot for harboring the Americans, and how she must have taken complete charge over both the Americans and the Germans, took their weapons, piled them up where they couldn't get it, the weapons, and hurt each other. Wow, what a brave lady she was.
Well, she was, because that's exactly what happened if they were caught harboring. And the American boys could have been bad, too. They could have gone in and just taken what they wanted. And so it was just a good combination of good people on both sides.
Yeah, but you know something, though, Doctor? It's more than that. It's what Christmas does and what Christmas means. And for those in the audience here or anywhere around the world that want to diminish and stop Christmas, look at the good, look at the love, look at the camaraderie that Christmas brings people together.
It does. You know, just another little short story. When my dad was born up in Montana, up in Harlan, Montana, near the Canadian border. And my grandma and grandpa had four boys and a little girl. She was about 5 years old. And it got to be close to Christmas time, and they all got sick. They were, in fact, the little girl got really bad. And so grandma and grandpa decided to take her into, I think it's Havre, Montana. And on the way in, it was wintry and snowy, and their car broke down. And, you know, back then, Zeb, if a car broke down, the next car coming along would always stop and offer help and see what they needed. And so the next car coming along stopped and saw what the problem was. So they took my grandpa and the little girl on into the hospital, and grandma caught a ride with the next car that came along. And anyway, by the time she got there, this little girl, my dad's little sister, had passed away. And so it was a really sad Christmas at that time, with all of them being sick and having lost a little child. And there was a good doctor that went out to their house and saw that they were all sick in bed. And he asked my grandma, he says, "Well, do you have a Christmas tree?" And she says, "Well, there's one out in the barn out there, but we haven't put it up." And so this good doctor went out and brought this tree in, set it up, and decorated it with what little decorations they probably had, to just bring a little bit of a Christmas spirit into a pretty sad situation. And I've been forever grateful for that doctor, whoever he was, for taking time out of his life to serve others.
I very seldom ever tell this story, but it's part of Christmas. But I remember while I was in college in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and my friends and I were in a restaurant. It was kind of like a JB's, Denny's, that type of thing, okay, back in Minneapolis. And I remember vividly that a waitress that was serving a doctor had come in, and he knew this waitress, and he asked about how she was doing. She was, her husband had been killed over in Vietnam, and she had two little ones at home, and I'm just making a hurry up on this story. And he asked how she was doing, and she responded that things were a little tough at Christmas time, and I'm sorry that we were eavesdropping a little bit on the conversation. But anyway, after she left his table, we watched him. He was sitting virtually right across the aisle in a booth from us. He took out his checkbook, and he wrote out a check and left it on the table and hurried out the door, left the money for the meal and everything right there on the table, and hurried out the door. And that girl came over and picked it up, and she just about fainted. There was a check for $500 for her to have with her family a Merry Christmas.
Boy, you know, stories like that just kind of help you know, our faith in human nature and mankind, that there's a lot of people that want to do good and do a lot of good that nobody ever knows about.
Yeah.
It's anonymous, and I really respect those people that can do things like that and not expect to have their back slapped and their name in the newspaper and things like that.
Well, that was way back in 68 and 69, and money, $500 then, was worth a lot more than it is now. And I never found out anything more about the doctor. I never found out anything more about that waitress, but I was sitting there with my best buddy Joe from Staten Island, New York, and two other guys. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's what a great time of year. I love this time of year. I love the music, the programs. We went to the Philharmonic Orchestra last Thursday night and listened to their Christmas program, and I just love the music and this time of year.
Well, I can tell you love it so much. You love it so much that you didn't, however, want to drive over here, which I respect. We had a good program just the same. You know what? You do an outstanding job, and I certainly hope that the road conditions will be better tomorrow so you can come up and see us on our open house and maybe do a little bit more on the air with us tomorrow morning.
That's my plan. I'm actually going to bring some of my grandkids out, if that's okay.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And so we'll look forward to that. But Dr. History brought to you by Minnacashia Sales, 1321 East Main Street in Burley. By the way, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now that we don't often do, but I want you to thank our sponsor, if you would, please.
You know, I have known this family since we were in the first grade together.
Oh, my.
At Miller School in Burley, Idaho, can you imagine? And we've been friends all these years, and he has always been just great. When I had a building project or a cement project or anything, he just is a big-hearted man. Roger Hansen is
right,
and his family's the same way. And I can't say enough good about the Hansen.
And you know, of course, Zach and his children, and he's got some great, great kids, one of whom we have seen grow up right before our eyes, and that's Abby, his daughter, because she gets on here and gives us the Pledge of Allegiance all the time.
Oh, is that right?
Absolutely.
That's great.
Well, listen, God bless you, and Merry Christmas, Dr. History, brought to you by Minnacashia Sales. Thank you so much.
And we'll see you tomorrow, Zeb. You have a good day.
Look forward to it. Thank you, my dear friend.
You bet. Bye.
Dr. Ken Turner, better known as Dr. History. Thank you very much.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.